And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blast-off. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah.
All right, it's 12:37 on a Sunday morning. Happy Easter. And this is program 63 of the WGN Radio Theater. We're a little late. Hawks, they win, though. 4-1, I guess the score was. And right, Dan?
Yeah, 4-1.
Dan would know that. Dan, that's
a couple
Dan.
Of late empty net goals,
yeah,
got it done.
Yeah, very cool. All right, Lisa, I know you were on the edge of your seat with the Hawks, right, driving up
and
here?
And that's why we count on Dan.
That's right. Mike Costella's here as well, Lisa Wolf to my right. And this is the WGN Radio Theater, program 63. And we are so glad to be here, although we will only be here till 2 o'clock in the morning, so we have an hour and a half to get some of these shows in. We're going to play a quarter-hour program from 1932 called Strange Adventures. It's called Mind Over Matter. And then we'll have The Saint starring Vincent Price. We're not going to be able to play Our Miss Brooks on this edition, but we will play an Our Miss Brooks down the road. Of course, all of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming thriller Mena as Barry Seal, a TWA pilot who became a drug smuggler in the 1980s and was recruited by the DEA to provide intelligence.
All right, what do you win?
A $25 gift card for Chicago's best deep dish pizza. That's Lou Malnati's.
All right, so if you want to win a $25 gift card for Lou Malnati's, give us a call, 312-981-7200. That's 312-981-7200. Here's a hint about that celebrity. You can hear him here talking to Val Kilmer's character in Top Gun.
I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. Nice, man. I am dangerous.
Very dangerous, Lisa.
I'm dangerous, too.
Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Tell us who that actor is. Win a Lou Malnati's gift card. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
I don't like you because you're dangerous.
That's right. Nice, man. I am dangerous.
And let's talk to Brian from Chicago. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine and dandy.
Good. Do you recognize that celebrity's voice?
I do. I believe it's Tom Cruise.
You are a winner. It is Tom Cruise. And I'm guessing you would appreciate a great pizza from Lou Malnati's.
Yes, I will.
Well, luckily for you, you've won a $25 gift certificate, which is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. Check them out at loumalnatis.com.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling.
Thanks, Brian.
In, Brian.
All right. Ready for some classic radio shows? We do this every Saturday and Sunday night. From 11 p.m. until 2 a.m., unless, of course, on the rare occasions that we are preempted by Hawks.
Right.
We don't have to worry about anything else preempting us, just the Hawks.
Right, and
but
only when they're playing in the West.
That's right, on the West Coast. But they won, and so, you know.
It's all good.
There you go. Okay, so we have a quarter-hour radio show for you. This premiered in 1932. It's called Strange Adventures. And it whisked our listeners away to faraway places where excitement beckoned and danger lurked around every corner. Now, the setting for this show was the World Adventurers Club, where a globe-trotting member had just returned from a thrilling adventure and shared it with the members. Some of the cast members, Gail Gordon, of course, you know who Gail Gordon is, Frank Nelson, Junius Matthews, Hanley Stafford, a great lineup of actors from the West Coast. There were 39 total episodes. We have all 39 episodes in our library of programs. We have an episode for you now called Mind Over Matter. It's from 1932. Here is Strange Adventures.
Once again, we take you to the now famous World Adventurers Club to listen in on the most important happening of the evening.
A new member is going to relate what he considers to be the strangest adventure he has experienced in foreign lands. Listen.
Well, boys, there's a real treat in store for you this evening. I haven't heard this story, but I'll bet it's a thriller. Our guest of honor has just told me it concerns his wealth of silvery white hair. I know you won't consider this at all out of the ordinary until you are told that he is only 36 years old.
36? Doesn't seem possible. Fever, I suppose.
So he is going to tell us the strange adventure that resulted in this condition. May I present Captain Rolf Johnston of the British Foreign Service.
Gentlemen, I thank you. Somehow, I always have a peculiar dread of telling this experience. It has to do with the power of mind over matter, or one mind in control of another.
It's certainly an interesting field.
About which we know very little.
It happened in Egypt several years ago. I was bargaining with an old tradesman in the marketplace when our transaction was interrupted by a hubbub in the street. A crowd was pelting an old woman in an effort to drive her to the outskirts. She resisted them and spat at them, cursed them in a screeching voice. What in the name of... I say, what are they doing with that old woman? Why, that's awful. I'll soon stop that.
Wait. She is an evil one. No one dare go near to her. No one dare even touch her unless...
Unless what? Look here, witch or no witch, I can't stand by and see anyone tortured like that. Here, I say, let go my arm.
Wait, hear me. She is called Daylight Witch, and she has been here forever. But no one has ever seen her after sundown or before the sun come up. Some say she is...
Oh, bosh. Watch how quickly they leave her when they see these coins. Here, look, money, cash. See? What did I tell you? By Jove, she is an awful-looking creature. I'll have a word with her.
I have warned you.
Don't worry. Tomorrow I'll give you an autographed picture of your evil one after the sun has gone down. Here, let me help you.
No, go.
Oh, I say now, after all that money I threw away, I want to help you. No harm. Well...
Well, you are so very nice. You are an English soldier.
Yes.
You are alone in Egypt.
What do you mean?
You have lady in Egypt.
Lady? Oh, I know. No, I haven't.
You like to know the most beautiful lady in all Egypt, yes?
Well, yes. Yes, I'm quite susceptible to the charms of a beautiful lady.
Then it is done. For your kind deed, I shall send to you the most beautiful lady in all Egypt.
Oh, wait now, I...
It is done. Take this ring. By this, she shall know you.
My word, it is pretty.
She will meet you at the seventh well on the stroke of eight. On the stroke of eight. On the stroke of eight.
I heard you have invited evil, my friend. She will send to you at that hour not a beautiful girl, but an evil curse.
You don't expect me to believe the most beautiful girl in Egypt could be an evil curse.
It is possible.
Well, if that's evil, old man, lead me to it.
Oh, hello, Mac. What are you doing here?
I was looking for you. New orders. Something doing in the north. We're to stand ready to leave on a moment's notice.
Of course.
In other words, don't stray too far, Rolf, and keep free of all entanglements.
I see. Entanglements. Do you know, Mac, something strange happened a bit ago? Did you see a crowd chasing an old hag?
Yes, I did.
Well, I dispersed the crowd, and she promised to send me tonight. Beautiful girl.
Well, what of it?
I have a hunch she will.
You don't believe her?
Somehow I do. Really.
You should wear your hat in the sun. Come, you'd better take a rest. You'll feel all right after you've eaten.
So this is the seventh well. Lonely place. 8 o'clock. Oh, I beg your pardon. Sorry, I didn't hear you.
I, Lucana, have been sent to do your bidding. You have the ring, O Captain?
Why, yes, of course. Here. Who are you? Your voice is pleasant. Come, lift your veil. I want to see more than your eyes.
Come closer. Look. Look into my eyes.
Yes, I am.
Are my eyes not beautiful?
Yes. Beautiful.
And now, in the light of the silver moon, I lift my veil and...
Good Lord! What beauty!
We go.
Yes.
Out over the beautiful silken sands and drink of the silver from the cup of the desert moon, the moon of many mysteries. Come.
Wait. Just let me look at you. Why, I can't keep my eyes off you. You are beautiful. I've never known anyone so gorgeous.
A voice come to me and say that I shall meet you at the sign of the seventh well in the moonlight.
Let's sit here and, as you say, drink of the moon, of its silver. It is silver, isn't it? I never realized it so much before.
Hold me close. The silver moon of the desert is life. Look, it glistens. It changes the hot burning sands into a cool blue lake. The light of this moon is my life, and you shall learn to love it, and it shall become your life too, for you belong to me forevermore.
Yes, Lucana. Oh, don't go, please.
I must leave you now, but you will meet me here again tomorrow by the moonlight, and we shall stay much longer, eh? Say it, my captain, tomorrow.
Yes, Lucana, tomorrow, and tomorrow... And tomorrow.
Well, what are you sneaking in for?
Oh, did I wake you? Sorry, old man.
Dawn again. Where have you been the past few nights? I'm worried about you, Ralph.
You needn't be.
Well, this will be the last night you'll have for mooning. We leave at 6 tomorrow morning for Dekunor. And then to England.
No.
So you'd better decide to wind up your business in the place right now.
I have decided. As my superior officer, I request your permission to take a lady with me.
What? Where?
To England, as my wife.
Well, of all... What lady?
Lucana.
Not the one the old hag sent you?
The most beautiful, adorable...
Wait. I knew it was a girl, but I didn't connect the old woman with it. Her daughter, I suppose? What makes you think she'll go?
I'm sure she will.
And if not...
I'll remain here.
What? Desert? Over my dead body?
Yes.
We shall see.
We shall.
No, my captain. You cannot go.
Oh, don't you understand, Lucana? If I stayed, I'd be a deserter. Disgraced. If I ever returned, I'd be court-martialed. Oh, I can't give you up. So you must come with me. We can't let anything keep us apart.
No, I cannot go. You will not leave me. You could not leave without me. Come to me. Kiss me.
Lucana, I love you.
Of course you do. You will stay, my captain.
Darling.
Ralph? Ralph?
Well, what do you want?
Sorry, old man, but I followed you for your own good. Who is this woman?
Lucana.
Lucana? Ralph, you're mad. Come here. I command you to come with me.
Lucana.
Get away from her.
Hold me close. You see, you would go mad without me, would you not? Yes?
Yes.
You will stay. And I shall come to your arms tonight by the light of the silver moon. Look. Look into my eyes. Do you see?
Yes. Yes, I see. I'll stay. I'll stay.
Ralph, you're insane. Listen to me.
No, no, don't. Look into my eyes.
Get away from him. Get away or I'll shoot.
You wouldn't dare.
Get away from that woman or I'll kill her.
No.
Come here or I'll...
Wait. I'll obey.
Go ahead.
Go. Go! Upon your head I hurl the curse of the Silver Moon. Ah, Silver Moon, your wrath upon his head forevermore. He shall not forget.
Look, a knife!
He shall
look out.
Not forget.
Look, Anna, you've killed her. Look, Anna, my darling, look at me. Oh, Mac, look. It isn't Lucana. It's the old hag.
Of course. The spell is broken.
Oh, horrible.
Come. It's dawn.
Gentlemen, it was the most frightful experience of my life. Call it what you like. Hypnotism, mesmerism, or the curse of the Silver Moon. But the fact remains, when I reached home, my nerves were completely shattered, and my hair had turned white.
And so we reluctantly bring down the curtain on Captain Johnson's interesting account of the supernatural. We invite you to join us again and listen in on the next strange adventure in a strange land.
That Strange Adventures from 1932, Mind Over Matter. And we were all sitting here listening to this. I'm sure listeners at home are going, oh my gosh, this is like overly dramatic, right? But when you think about movies from the 1930s, like Dracula, they all talked with this perfect English, you know. And then, you know, they were dramatic, just like the radio shows were very theatrical.
Exactly.
In the early and mid, and even into the late 1930s. Orson Welles, I think, changed all that when he was doing the Mercury Theater. The Mercury Theater was, he was very proper on that. But I think by the late 1930s with The Shadow and into the early 40s, it became a lot less theatrical and more realistic, just like the movies did.
Right.
You know, when you watch those old movies from the 30s, they were very, very theatrical.
And yeah, this is a period in time. So,
it really was.
Know, reflected on that.
Yeah. And speaking of a period of time, tomorrow or tonight, right?
Tonight. We will be back and we have a special night.
We'll be back. We'll give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter because Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, will be here. So, folks, if you do not have your picture in of your kitty cat, you can do it tonight. Right?
This is your last chance.
How do they do it, Mike?
Well, they can take a picture of them and their cat, send their name, cat's name, city, and state to catspridephoto@gmail.com.
All right, send it in. This is your last chance for the month of March. Of course, you can do it every month because Dan Jaffe comes in here on the last Sunday of every month and gives away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter.
I'm thinking, isn't it fun to hear your name and say, oh my gosh, you actually won a year's supply of the best kitty litter on the market. That's fun.
And it's easy to do.
It's fun to win. I like to win.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break, then we'll be right back. Welcome back. Second hour here, although we were only on a half hour last hour.
But it's the third hour of our show.
It's the
second hour, but it's the third hour.
I'm all confused, and you just made me even more confused.
I'd like to confuse you.
But, you know, the good thing is, Mike, that Lisa is not sleeping.
She is not.
She is wide awake. She's rubbing her eyes, though, but she's wide awake.
Wide awake, and you can check the cameras.
So I'm glad to see that.
Thanks.
No snoring. I didn't have to bring my earplugs. This is the WGN Radio Theater. Happy Easter. And we are going to play an episode of The Saint in this hour with Vincent Price. And I always thought it was kind of weird because The Saint was an English detective. And, of course, Roger Moore played him on television. Leslie Charteris was British, and he invented this character. And on American radio, you would think they would have a British actor playing him. No, Vincent Price played him. And he did it in a very kind of English way, but
very stoic.
But he did not have an English accent, of course. But we'll get to that in just a few minutes. All of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
Demolition is an upcoming drama starring this actor as a successful investment banker who unravels after losing his wife in a tragic car accident.
$25 gift card for Lou Malnati's.
You bet.
All right, that's what you win, folks. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This actor played Louis Bloom, the lead role in 2014's Nightcrawler.
Excuse me, sir. I'm looking for a job. I'm a hard worker. I set high goals. My motto is, if you want to win the lottery, you have to make the money to buy a ticket. So what do you say? I could start tomorrow, or even why not tonight?
No.
No.
No, just no.
No.
That's what I say to you.
Not hiring over here.
Just no.
All right. If you know who that actor is, give us a call. 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back, and we are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
Excuse me, sir. I'm looking for a job. I'm a hard worker. I set high goals. My motto is, if you want to win the lottery, you have to make the money to buy a ticket. So what do you say? I could start tomorrow, or even why not tonight?
No.
Let's talk to Chris from Chicago. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
All right, good. Who is that voice?
That'd be Jake Gyllenhaal.
You are right, Chris. You are a winner, and you have won a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, the best deep dish pizza in Chicago. I hope you love that. You can check out their menu at loumalnati's.com.
Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks,
and
Chris.
We appreciate your calling in.
All right. You ready for some classic radio, Lisa?
Yes, I am. Are you?
Yes, but I just want to remind our listeners before we tune into The Saint that Mee's Meals, we heard a nice commercial with you, Lisa. Nice job.
Thanks, Carl.
Very good. And I know you're a big fan of Mee's Meals.
I am.
As am I, and as is Mike. And we get Mee's Meals every single week. And we have a special going for our listeners through Mee's Meals, which is any one of our listeners can call or can actually go on the website and order dinner for two delivered to their home absolutely free. Pick anything on the menu. Mee's Meals wants you to try them, and all you have to do is go to their website.
Right, which is meezmeals.com, M-E-E-Z meals.com.
And you enter the promo code?
Radio.
That's right.
And you can have some great food. I had a favorite this week, which is Chicken Enchiladas Rojas.
Me too.
I had the same thing.
Yeah, and I posted it on Facebook, so if you want to see what it looks like, even I could make it, which is a feat. So if I can do it, seriously, anybody can do it.
You cooked it with your feet?
Yes, that's what I said. I cooked it with my feet, and it was tasty, delicious.
That does make it...
A little throw. Doesn't make it what?
Adds a little flavor, I guess.
Flavor. It was
probably
flavorful.
So yeah, that's... and it's, you know what I love about Mee's Meals, too? When you open everything up, it's all chopped and all ready to go. When you open it all up, there's these like cue cards in there of how to do it. It's simple.
I need cue cards.
Yeah, we do. But anybody listening, any one of our listeners, this is for our WGN Radio Theater listeners, just go to their website, Mee's, M-E-E-Z, meals.com, and choose any dinner for two delivered to your home. Absolutely free, no strings attached. And it's a special offer. It's only running for a limited time, so do it tomorrow.
Yeah, I love when you open your front door and it's just dinner is there.
Oh, I know.
It's very exciting.
It's
for
very
me.
Very cool.
The cool thing that I like about it is the menu changes every week.
Yeah, every
it's not
week.
The same thing.
There's like
week.
10 new things every single week.
Yep.
Fantastic. All right, it's time for The Saint. It was a detective created by Leslie Charteris. And in the movies, George Sanders played the Saint, and then his brother, Tom Conway, played the Saint on radio for the first year. But then 1 year later, Vincent Price became the Saint. He was billed as the Robin Hood of modern crime. Lawrence Dobkin was Louis, his Brooklyn cab driver, set in this. This was all set in New York, although it was broadcast out of L.A. And it ran on radio from 1947 through 1951. And, of course, Roger Moore played the Saint on the very popular TV series. But it's time now for an episode of The Saint on radio from June 15th, 1950. It's called The Corpse Said Ouch. And you will hear Vincent Price as The Saint.
The Adventures of The Saint, starring Vincent Price. On characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as The Saint.
I'm not home.
It's the middle of the night and I'm asleep. I'm in Schenectady, sitting up with a sick aunt. Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you Simon Templer?
Well, come in and we'll compare social security cards.
Thank you. I thought you were in Schenectady.
Never heard of the place.
Sitting up with a sick aunt.
She recovered suddenly.
Simon, I need help. Desperately.
Why?
Because I'm dead.
You're what?
Dead.
Oh, well, of course, some of my best friends...
Simon, my name is Francis Blake. Here, read this.
Read?
That little item down in the corner, under obituaries.
Obituaries? Says here that the body of Francis Blake is at the Restwell Chapel. Burial at noon tomorrow.
You see, the newspapers say that I'm dead.
Yeah, but I don't know whether to believe them or not. You are Francis Blake?
Oh, of course I am.
Come here a moment.
All right.
Thank you. Now...
Simon, what are you...
I beg your pardon.
You pinched me.
Yes?
But...
Well, I had to make sure I wasn't dreaming.
But you're supposed to pinch yourself if you think you're dreaming.
I know, but this way was more fun. Also, I never heard a corpse say ouch before. Therefore, you're not dead.
I already knew that.
I didn't. Now that that's settled, I think perhaps we ought to go visit.
Visit whom?
Your corpse. Taxi! Taxi!
Day or night, rain or bright.
Never mind, Louis.
Oh, Mr. Templer, had I have known it was you, I wouldn't have bothered with the whimsy.
Had I known it was you, I just wouldn't have bothered. However, Francis...
Thank you.
Louis should perhaps be explained. He's a cab driver I try to avoid. I rarely succeed. Which proves to me that my life isn't all that it should be.
Keep it clean. And where at this hour of the night are you going?
The Restwell Chapel.
Get another cab.
Louis.
Okay, okay. Some sport. Takes a girl to see a funeral parlor in the middle of the night.
I'm merely taking her home.
She lives in a funeral parlor?
She's dead in a funeral parlor.
Who's dead?
Miss Blake.
Huh?
Me.
Excuse me, but
Louis,
I got...
don't take
I
your hands off
gonna...
the wheel. I already did.
Yeah, so?
She said ouch.
Personally, I would have liked to find out for myself, but if you say so...
I do.
I'll take your word for it. Only how are you going to explain to the funeral parlor her riding around in cabs with you?
Simple. I am apparently the kind of a man a girl wouldn't mind being seen dead with.
Restwell Chapel at your service.
Louis.
I know. Wait. But I'm telling you one thing, considering the type of company you're keeping, I ain't waiting till nobody plays no hot licks and a trumpet.
Well, I don't think you'll have to. Come along, Francis.
All right. I've been trying to pretend to myself that it's all some kind of a joke, but that funeral parlor looks too real.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. One nice thing about funeral parlors, they're always open.
That you call nice?
She have a point there. Ooh, listen to that doorbell. Chopin, at least.
Ah.
I beg your pardon?
I said, ah.
Ah. Come in, Francis.
This is an hour that comes to all.
Except in states that don't have daylight saving.
I, sir, was referring to your bereavement. Whom are you mourning?
We would like to look at Francis Blake.
The hour is late, but grief knows no clock.
Good heavens, an epigram.
We try, sir. If you'll follow me.
Thank you.
Ah, here we are. And there she is. Beautiful, isn't she?
Very.
Simon, she does look like me.
A little bit, but hardly enough to explain. How did she get here?
Miss Blake?
Mm.
The police brought her.
Oh, I see. Who identified her?
Well, that was hardly necessary. Her coat over there in the corner.
Simon!
Wait a minute, Francis. What about her coat?
It had her name on the label. Now I shall withdraw. You will want to be alone with your grief.
All right, but make a sound withdrawing, please, so we'll know you're withdrawn.
Oh, really, sir, it's no use jesting. The dead never laugh.
Well, he's withdrawn.
Simon, that's my coat. It is mine, Simon, but look.
Yes, two holes in the front of it, bullet holes.
Bullet holes?
The girl here, whoever she is, was murdered. Come on, we better get out.
All right, but I'm taking my coat.
I don't think...
It's mine, not hers. It belongs to me, even though she was murdered in it. Simon, what was that girl doing with my coat?
Wearing it when she was shot, presumably.
But...
There's another question, perhaps a more important one. Why was she shot in the first place?
I suppose she had enemies.
Have you?
Back again?
Yeah, we're back again. Francis.
Oh, thank you.
The little lady lost her place?
Francis, where do you live?
The Thornton Towers.
Louis.
I heard.
Simon, back there. Why did you ask if I had any enemies?
The coat's a distinctive one.
Well, it's a very colorful plaid.
Yes, the girl back at the funeral parlor was murdered while wearing it. The question comes to, was her wearing the coat when she was killed merely a coincidence, or was she killed because her murderer thought she was, you? Here you are, Louis, and...
I know. Don't wait. On account of your sitting up with a dead friend.
Good night, Louis.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
Oh, Simon, it's so good to be back home. My apartment's down the corridor. Simon, I feel terrible.
Oh, you needn't.
But what you said in the cab... She was wearing my coat, a very distinctive one. And then she was shot to death. That girl is dead because of me.
No, we don't really know that.
Well, it must be so. Somebody thought she was me and killed her.
That's possible.
But then, that means that somebody wants to kill me.
Is this your door?
Oh, yes.
Of course, it's also possible that someone didn't like the coat and... Hey, did you leave your lights on when you left?
No.
There's a light in the room ahead.
Well, that's the living room.
You stay here in the hall. I'll go ahead and see who it is.
But I...
I just want to make sure they're neutral on the subject of plaid coats or you. Shh.
Oh. Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Ah, how she was beautiful, your wife.
My what?
Your wife. It's her picture on the desk there, no?
Well, that does seem to be a picture of Frances.
And your name, she is?
My name's Simon.
Ah, it is a name that fills herself with the soul, no?
No,
I knew that tonight, of all nights, you would be lonely.
Believe me, I'm
so
not lonely.
I am here. Oh, your wife, she must have been a wonderful woman.
She,
Your life with her was the magnificent symphony, no?
Chamber music would probably be more accurate if you...
And
were.
Now that she is, alas, gone, I am here.
Without even a pause for station identification. Look, who are you?
I am Olga.
Simon,
Who is she?
Olga.
Who is she?
Francis, and now that you two have met...
Waiting a moment, huh? Aha. I look on the picture, I look on the flash...
The what?
The flash, of which I might adding your wife is perhaps carrying a little too much here and there. Especially there. Now, just a minute.
Mustn't point, Olga. Bad manners.
But I am seeing your wife. She is not dead.
She isn't. That is, Francis isn't. If you like, you could try pinching her.
I never pinch... Except boys.
Oh.
Simon, you are disappointing me. Goodbye.
Well, that was quite a performance.
Personally, I didn't care for her cadenza.
Oh, I don't know. It was a nice cadenza, and the tutti was definitely fruity. That is, Francis, the whole thing was camouflaged.
For what?
Take a look at the room.
The room? Oh!
Yes, it looks as if a junior hurricane had visited it.
You mean somebody of Olga searched the room?
Uh-huh, this one, and, yeah, the bedroom as well.
But, Simon, what was she looking for?
I don't know. Whatever it was, she didn't find it. Our entrance stopped her search.
Well, I'd better start straightening things up a bit.
It's a good idea. I'll help you.
Well, shouldn't you be going home?
Oh, I don't think so. You may get some more visitors later on, and rougher ones than Olga.
Why?
Well, maybe they'll tell us if we ask them prettily. In the meanwhile...
Yes, Simon?
We can practice the overture to that symphony Olga mentioned.
Simon.
Yes?
It's getting awfully late.
Yes, I know.
We really can't sit up all night waiting for someone to come. We don't even know for sure that someone will.
Olga got into this apartment, and someone else did before her.
Someone else?
Of course. Your coat was stolen, wasn't it?
Well, I suppose, but not from the apartment, Simon.
Not from... Where was it stolen from?
Well, I can't be sure, of course, but I gave that coat to the cleaning shop down the block about a week ago.
Cleaning shop?
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of it?
The Carter Cleaners. Why?
Because evidently it started out from there to wind up on a murdered girl's body. Therefore, come on.
We're gonna...
Yes, believe it or not, I'm taking you to the cleaners. I thought I told you not to wait.
This is a free country?
Yes,
is there a parking limit on this here curb, maybe?
No, but...
I waited.
But we're only going down the block a little bit.
You can't afford a quarter?
I like to walk.
What do you get from walking?
Exercise.
Uh-huh, and from exercise, an enlarged heart. From an enlarged heart, you know how many people each year drop dead?
Add them up. We're walking. Come on, Francis.
Simon, you're worried.
Moderately, about all those people with enlarged hearts. This is the place, huh?
Yes.
Front door is shut, but there's a light inside. Let's try. It's locked, however.
I think someone's coming.
Recognize him?
Yes. Yes, that's Mr. Maxson, the manager.
Oh, what do you want?
Do you mind if we come in?
Look, it may have escaped your attention, but it happens to be after 2 o'clock in the morning. Why do you want to come in?
The rain.
It's not raining.
But suppose it starts.
I happen to be a very tired man.
You should go home earlier.
I shouldn't be bothered by drunks.
I'm not drunk. We've stopped by for Miss Blake's coat.
Coat?
The plaid.
As I may have mentioned before, we are not open for business.
And then what are you doing here?
I'm crazy about carbon tetrachloride fumes.
I'd still like the coat.
Oh? Then please do stop by in the morning.
Simon, why did you...
I wanted to find out if the cleaning store knew the plaid coat was gone.
But we didn't find out, did we?
No, nevertheless, we've worried Mr. Maxson. Thank heaven Louis's handy. Hey, Louis! Louis!
All right, on a sound effect there, we're breaking on this episode of The Saint... And we'll get back to it in a few minutes. It's called The Corpse Set Out, starring Vincent Price, from June 15th, 1950. And the woman there in this scene with Vincent Price is Shirley Mitchell. And on The Great Gildersleeve, she played Leela Ransom. Right? Remember her?
Of course I do.
All right. Let's take a break for the news. It's 1:30. Oh, no, we have to take a quick break for a commercial. Then we'll be right back. Welcome back to the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, my co-host, Lisa Wolf. In front of me, Mike Costella, our executive producer. And in the booth, the best in the business, Dan Long, our producer. And we are playing classic radio shows for you, as we do every weekend. Lisa and I and Mike and the whole gang here. We're here Saturday nights from 11 p.m. until 2 a.m. in the morning. So we play three classic radio shows. We were preempted a little bit by the Hawks this time. Tomorrow, though, we have the full 3-hour show. We'll be here, actually, tonight. I always get that confused. tonight we'll be back here at 11 p.m., right, Lisa?
Yeah, just a few hours away, right, Carl?
With program 64.
Yes.
And we have, what's our lineup? Like, I got it here somewhere. We have the Jack Benny program, the First Nighter program, and Gunsmoke. That's our lineup for tonight at 11 p.m. I want to remind our listeners that Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, will be here at the start of the show tonight, and he will be giving away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to a lucky winner. And if you have not entered our drawing as yet this month, all you have to do is send a picture of you and your kitty cat. Send it to catspridephoto@gmail.com. Please include your name and your cat's name, your city and state. Send it in to catspridephoto@gmail.com. And get it in today, because Dan Jaffe will be here tonight, and maybe you're going to be a winner, right?
Absolutely.
All right. And we post all those pictures at our Facebook page, which is WGN Radio Theater. And please like us when you go there. Also, we have a website for this radio show. It is WGNRadioTheater.com. We have all of the shows listed on a schedule there that we're going to play. There's thousands of pictures of Lisa in pretty much every facial position known to man.
A little to the right, a little to the left.
Yeah.
You know.
Every color, sepia, black and white, full color. There's Lisa likes to take
poster.
Pictures. Lisa's always like, come on, everybody, it's time for another picture.
I did not do that tonight.
Right, Dan? Are you, how many, do you hear that in your sleep? Hey, it's time for another picture.
Dan, can we take a picture, please?
Dan.
At least I include everyone.
Let's take a picture. Oh, my gosh.
And then we take the picture, and then we have to wait for Lisa to approve it.
Right, she has to approve the picture.
And sometimes we got to take another one because it's not good enough.
And when she approves it, she doesn't look at any of us. She just looks at herself. How do I look? And she says to herself, how do I look at the picture? Oh, I look great. It's approved. And we could have our eyes closed.
Exactly.
Evidenced by the picture we took with the wine glass
yes.
a couple weeks
okay,
ago.
Okay, but that was the only yes. one I had when your eyes were closed. Hey, I'm
there was a couple of pictures where Dan had, you know, the fingers, the antennas up over a Mike's head or my head. She doesn't see any of that.
Yeah, I didn't notice
She
that.
Looks at herself. She yeah. goes, oh, I look great. Let's use that picture.
Yeah, that's exactly
and,
you've
and
got
really
it right.
she has sort of executive control because she's the one that puts the pictures up usually. So we're SOL, guys.
You know what I do? I keep taking pictures until Dan's eyes are closed, and mm-hmm. then that's the one I like to use.
I'm very sensitive to the flesh.
I noticed that. Dan's very just sensitive.
You know, but you're the best, Lisa Wolf.
Mm-hmm,
you're the best.
Carl.
You're the best. You're the mm-hmm. best co-host.
Well, that's for sure.
You know what? You're the best co-host I've had on this station in a whole year.
Ever. I'll take it.
Okay. It's time for the conclusion to The Corpse Said Out, starring Vincent Price in The Saint.
You give up, huh?
Yeah. Into the cab, Francis.
All right.
Well, name your destination, Mr. Templer.
A very long trip.
Yeah?
Drive to the back of the cleaning store. You'll probably have to go around the block. That alley must lead there.
Okay.
But, Simon, why are we going to the back of the store? Because we're going in?
No, because I suspect Mr. Maxson is going out.
All this here is maybe none of my business.
It isn't.
Oh, you know, a remark like that could easily hurt a fella's feelings.
I'm sorry.
No, it didn't hurt mine.
I'm sorrier still.
But you're not spending this PM in the way a PM should be spent.
Nonsense. So far, it's all been good, clean fun.
That's what I mean.
Simon, Mr. Maxson hasn't come out of the store yet.
No, he may be coy, however.
But why should he have anything to do with anything?
He shouldn't, but it's very possible that...
Simon!
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Maxson is shutting up shop. Coming down the back alley, which confirms something or other.
You mean if he weren't hiding something, he wouldn't use the back way?
Perhaps. We're far enough away from the alley for him not to notice. Look, he's turning the corner. Louis.
I am alert. Not for nothing was I a Boy Scout. Although, actually, what I was a Boy Scout for was a certain Girl Scout.
Hold it a minute. He's getting into that buck.
He's a villain. That's a convertible. Everybody knows only villains ride around in convertibles.
He started. Louis.
Here we go.
Hey, look. Maxon's stopping.
Yeah, I better stop right here, huh?
Uh-huh.
Simon,
He's going into that nightclub.
Interesting place for a store manager to finish his evening's work. Let's go, Francis.
Leave me know how the floor show is.
I'll be sure to.
Barker's Bandbox. I've heard of the club.
Yeah, and I've heard of Barker. Nothing complimentary either. Well, here it is, and in we go. Dark, crowded, and needs ventilation. The floor show? Emphasis on show.
Simon and Mr. Maxson's over there.
Yeah, ducking out of the door near the piano. Let's follow in his shifty footsteps, huh?
Gee, I hope nobody notices this.
With what's going on, or rather coming off, I don't think so.
It's so dark in this hallway.
Yeah, listen.
I can't hear what they're saying.
Yeah, we can get a little closer.
Simon.
Now, wait a minute, Barker.
I've been waiting long enough. Where are the stones?
I told you, the girl disappeared.
I know what you told me. Don't give me the stones. Now, suppose you tell me where the stones are.
I don't know where they are.
Stones.
Yeah, Barker's got quite a reputation as a crook of various kinds. Stones are jewelry, and unquestionably stolen jewelry.
Having fun, fellas?
Oh!
Hope I didn't frighten you, lady. Coming up behind you, two nosy people like this.
That was her asthma.
Yeah. This here's a rod.
How cute. Could I see it?
Let go.
Simon, I've got his gun.
Yeah, and I've got a fist. Let's see what happens. How gratifying. I hit him and he fell down.
Jake!
Come on. All that could happen to us in here...
Jake!
...would be fatal.
They fired at us.
I know. It's always a little nervous-making. Well, here we are.
Thanks, Simon.
No, not yet. I'm going in with you.
But...
No, for safety.
Oh. You think maybe...
I'm just not taking any chances. Foyer's all right. Living room? Francis.
What?
Don't look across the room. Olga's back, but this time she's staying.
What do you mean?
I hoped you wouldn't see her. She isn't beautiful anymore.
Oh, no. Just dead.
I'd better phone the police.
Wait, Simon. You know this thing started with Francis Blake being dead.
But it wasn't Francis Blake. It was another girl.
And then someone else got killed. Olga.
Still not Francis Blake.
But, Simon, the next time, do you think maybe it will be?
Let's get out of here. Good night, Temple.
Good night, Lieutenant. Thanks for dropping over. And exit Olga, exit police. Francis.
Yes, Simon.
You better go to bed. I'll stay on. It's almost morning anyway.
Oh, I couldn't sleep. Would you like me to fix us some breakfast?
Oh, say, that's not a bad idea if you feel up to it.
Oh, I don't know how I feel. You stay right where you are. Won't take me more than a few minutes.
All right.
Okay, that's all the sound you're going to make, sister. The gun's loaded. If you've got ideas about yelling for help, remember this. Bullets get to you quicker than help. Now let's get out of here, by the service door, like I come in.
But, Simon...
And the boyfriend, you'll write him a letter from where you're going. If you're lucky, sister. And I hope you're lucky. You're too pretty to enjoy dying so quick.
Hey, Francis, what are you cooking? Steak? Francis, I don't intend to oversee your cooking, but... Francis. Francis.
Oh, here she is, Mr. Barker.
Yeah. Nice work, Jake.
Hi. I want to know what this is all about.
Yeah, I bet you do. You and me both, baby. What'd you do with the stones?
The stones?
Yeah. The chorus girl's delight, the old man's charm, the stones.
Oh, you mean jewels. I don't have any.
Maybe not on you, but you're going to tell us where they are, won't you, baby?
Suppose I don't know.
I wouldn't care to believe that.
Well, you'd better start, because I don't know.
All right. I'll start not believing you. Jake.
Yeah?
I don't believe him. I don't think she's behaving right.
You don't, huh?
I don't.
Okay, Mr. Barker.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to slap you around a bit. It's going to hurt you more than it hurts me, too.
Oh, no, you can't.
Want to bet?
Hold it a minute, Jake. I'll get it. Yeah?
Barker?
Who are you?
Simon Templer. You've got Francis Blake there, haven't you?
It's your phone call.
You must have. Listen, if you don't hurt her in any way, I'll get you the stones you're looking for. She doesn't know where they are.
Matter of fact, where are the stones?
The Carter Cleaner's shop.
Look, don't hand me that. We already been through the joint.
But you didn't know where to look.
Yeah? That could be a deal. Okay. But your girlfriend will be under a gun all the time. First funny move and she gets it.
No funny moves.
We'll be seeing you. Okay, Jake, we're going visiting. Maybe we'll trade in a babe for the stones. If the stones are handed over. If they ain't, we'll just trade her in.
Good morning, and... Oh, you were here last night.
That's right, Mr. Maxson. I was looking for a plaid coat.
Plaid?
Yes, maybe it would be here on this rack.
Oh, it wouldn't be there. You see, this rack is for dresses.
And this is for last night.
Oh.
Sorry to have upset you, Mr. Maxson, but company's coming and I've got to set the table for them.
Joint looks clean. No blue uniforms around. Park it, Jake.
Okay.
Here we go, baby.
I can walk by myself.
Yeah, I know, but I enjoy your company.
Simon!
Hello, Francis.
You Templer?
That's right.
Simon,
Hey, stay next to me, sister.
I better just lock the door so we won't be interrupted. All right, where are the stones?
Yeah, they're in the place here. They must be.
I don't like the sound of that. It could be a stall. What's that?
And Mr. Maxson, he fell down while he was pressing some suits or something.
Yeah? Get up, Maxson. Come on.
What? Hello, Mr. Barker.
Hello, rat.
Oh, you don't have to talk that way, Mr. Barker. I can't help it if the stones were stolen from me, if the woman double-crossed me.
This babe here?
Yeah. Why don't you work her over, Mr. Barker, and her boyfriend? After all, they're the ones who killed Olga, aren't they? It was a narrow apartment.
Never mind Olga. I like the kid. I sent her out on the job. She got it. Business, you got to cut your losses when you have to. I still want the stones. Hey, you.
They are here. They have to be.
Then find them.
I've looked, but they're hidden cleverly.
You sound like a guy up a tree, mister, and in just a couple of seconds, I'm going to cut that tree down.
Tree? Hey, wait a minute. Tree? Suppose you wanted to hide a tree so you couldn't find it. Where would you hide it?
I ain't interested in hiding trees.
You'd hide it in a forest, of course. Therefore, going through the place, I noticed... Francis, go through that dress rack.
Dress rack?
Find a dress, any dress, that doesn't seem to belong.
Well, all right.
Hey, I don't get it, boys. Who wants to hide a tree?
Get up, Jake. Maybe it's that simple.
Oh, Simon, I'm not sure what you mean, but this shop is in a pretty expensive neighborhood. All the dresses here are very good ones, except this one. It's quite cheap, covered with cheap rhinestones.
Let me have it. Yes, of course, it doesn't belong here. Why is it here? Because it's a forest.
Looks like a rag to me, not like a forest.
Then suppose you take another look at some of the rhinestones on
it. Let me have it.
Hey. Yeah, most of the things sewn on that dress are cheap rhinestones, but among them...
are the genuine stones, the ones we've been looking for. Well, nice work, Maxson.
I didn't know anything about it. Somebody else must have done it. The frame here...
No kidding.
Wait a minute, Barker. Wait.
For what? I'm going to tell you something, Maxson.
No, Barker, I...
You sure told him.
Never did like a double crosser. Hey, where are you going?
Well, it occurred to me you mightn't like witnesses either. Francis, stay behind me.
Hey, what are you...
Pressing machines build up quite a lot of beam pressure. I kicked the outlet pipe off, and it's aimed at you. You better scram, Barker, unless you want to get parboiled.
Why, you...
Hey, it's getting too hot in here. Come on.
Let's go. You leaving us?
Oh, they've gone.
Yes, Francis, but not for long. The police won't have much trouble picking them up with them all... Forgive me, but I can't resist it. With them all steamed up.
Simon, I'm terribly grateful, but I can't resist...
Francis.
...asking you what it was all about.
Oh, an intellectual, huh? Well, you see, Francis, Maxon and Barker were partners in the jewelry business. Illegitimate.
Oh.
They worked out a nice idea. They'd use very distinctive clothes left with the cleaning shop as disguises for themselves and their confederates.
Oh, and disguises which couldn't be traced because they'd lead back only to perfectly innocent people who had alibis and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the last job they did involved a girl who wore your plaid coat while stealing the jewels.
Oh.
Maxon, however, decided he wanted all the jewels for himself, so he killed the girl and hid the stones.
And Olga?
He had to kill Olga because she suspected something wrong and came to this apartment because that's where the plaid coat came from.
Mm-hmm. Well, but how did you know that Maxon had killed her?
Back in the shop, he said Olga had been killed in this apartment. How did he know that?
Because he'd killed her. Oh, Simon, what would I have done without you?
The question is, what are you going to do with me?
Now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, our cast tonight included Shirley Mitchell, Viola Vaughn, Larry Dobkin, Lou Merrill, Tony Barrett, and Jack Moyles. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at the same time for another exciting adventure of The Saint. Good night.
Tonight's script of The Saint was written by Louis Vittes. The music was composed and conducted by Vaughn Dexter. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring in RKO's production of His Kind of Woman. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that The Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer is Don Stanley.
That's The Saint from June 15, 1950. The Corpse Said Ouch, starring Vincent Price as Simon Templar, a.k.a. The Saint. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, we'll be back here in a few hours, right? Well, like 20 hours or so, something like that.
Yeah, about 21.
The Jack Benny program, the First Nighter program, and Gunsmoke. But I want to say hi to my pal, Dave Plyer. What's up, Dave?
Good morning, everybody.
You're like nice and tan.
I literally landed an hour ago.
Your arm's tired?
You've been flying all the way out.
Exactly.
Well, so, we're glad you made it back.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd just have to continue talking.